This Brutal House is the fifth novel by Niven Govinden, author of Graffiti My Soul and All the Days and Nights. The latest book, This Brutal House, opens with a group of five drag mothers sitting in protest on the steps of New York City Hall. The protest is textless and silent. The concept of the drag mothers may be familiar to fans of Ryan Murphy's Pose, or which is currently on Netflix. But to delve more into Govinden's take on the world, we asked Dave Lorden to read This Brutal House. Dave, again, Ginny Livingstone's documentary Paris is Burning looked into this whole phenomenon. But tell us about the voguing culture in New York.
Well, it's a voguing is a type of dress up and performance competition between drag queens who are organised into houses, okay? And they compete against each other. There's like hundreds of different categories, but they're all expressing different aspects of femininity. So you go everywhere from, you know, as they refer to it themselves, from butch lesbian over to girly girl and in between. And one of the things in the book, there's a section called categories, which goes on for about 10 pages listing all the different categories of performance and competition you can do. People will be familiar with it from RuPaul and so on and so forth. That it's great fun, it's very glamorous, it's very entertaining, it's very creative, it's all kind of you know, good things. And it really kind of lit up culture in New York, I think, in the 80s and 90s in particular, you know, when it was kind of at its height, or its first wave was at its height. I suppose it has a second wave now with the RuPaul and so on. But the interesting thing about the houses, so-called, are that they, as well as serving this kind of artistic function, if you like, and this solidarity function between, you know, the mothers, as they call themselves, they also took in children who had either ran away or been, you know, abandoned or thrown out by their parents or their guardians for being non-conforming gender-wise. Okay, and tragically, that's, you know, a fact of life.
When you say children, what age are you talking?
Well, you see, again, in the book, we're in very vague territory here, because, you know, they say mothers, they say children. Children and mothers are two characters in the book. We have a lot of collective characters in the book. So children really just means, you know, not one of the mothers, younger than the mothers. Now, I think we're talking starting 15, 16, 17, 18, people in their late teens, maybe their early 20s, you know, that kind of age.
Again, and when they run away to the mothers...
Yeah.
They're not necessarily put up, but they get involved in the voguing culture.
They get involved in the voguing culture. I think they're very often put up. Now, when we talk about houses, sometimes we are referring to a physical house, if you like, but we're more referring to sort of associations between people. So the mothers mightn't all live together for one house, but they'd be part of the house of, you know, Sheba, or the house of, you know, this, that, or the other thing, and so on. And they would look after the young people in the sense that they would provide them with a roof over their head, they'd provide them with food, and I suppose, you know, dignity of their choice in terms of gender and choice. And, you know, they're accepted among them, right?
And they become performers.
They become performers, and this is another interesting aspect of the book. Of course, there's no such thing as a free lunch, especially not in New York. You know, so the young people are trained as performers and entered into the competition. Now, back in the 80s and 90s, when this book is set, you know, it wasn't a very lucrative thing. You know, so they weren't making millions out of the kids or anything like that, and, you know, they weren't exploiting them or super exploiting them, certainly, you know, but there definitely was pressure on the kids to, you know, be good at voguing.
And you think the kids wanted to do that?
Oh, I mean, you can't speak for every single one of them, and that's one of the problems with the book, I think. You know, you can't speak for every single one of them, but I would imagine that it was a dream, you know, life compared to what they came from, because you can imagine that gender non-conforming children sometimes coming from very reactionary parts of the United States, where it would have been very dangerous, you know, threatening your own life to go out in the street as who you feel like you are. Can you imagine how liberating that felt for some of the young people? I'm certain, you know what I mean?
Yes, because there's an interesting teasing out of concepts between two words.
Yeah.
There's real and there's reality.
Yeah, realness, right? The categories are often called, you know, butch femme realness, or, you know, street woman realness. So when they talk about realness, they mean imitation, but imitating the thing to make it, you know, even more like itself than it is in reality. You know, it's a kind of bit of a brain twister to get your head around it. But anybody who's seen RuPaul will see that these you know, drag queens, when they're really good, are more like the thing they're imitating than the thing itself is, you know. So and that is really interesting, you know.
And then reality can be the harsh reality of being unwanted in your family home.
Absolutely. And, you know, so reality is one thing and realness is another. Realness is a concept of imitation or even over imitation. You know, I mean, in visual art we have a hyper real realism, don't we? You know, and I think there's a certain, you know, we could analogically say it's that's...
Because there's a plot to talk about, is there? There's a kind of a plot to talk about?
Yeah, you know, it's not a page-turner, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I mean, when we talk about plot, you know, we mean something that's going to keep the reader, you know, in tension and anticipation and turning the pages. Not a lot of tension and anticipation in the book and not a lot of plot development, to be honest with you. There's one or two twists in the plot that are quite interesting. But it's
so
not a page-turner like that.
I talked about
Protest starts. The protest is at the very beginning of the book. It goes on for the bulk of the book and then it kind of peters out at the end. And that is to do with young members of the houses, the children, as they're so-called, going missing. Okay, and one of the things that the book highlights, and you know, it's quite upsetting, is that the police and the other authorities do not take seriously the cases of missing non-gender conforming children. Now, from their point of view, there's bureaucratic issues because, of course, the children are operating under different names. From the point of view of the police in this book, you know, you can't be born, you know, with one set of genitals and then turn into and then become something by your own choice. If you like later on, that's the kind of police view of it. So, and the police are kind of in the book represented as, and I think it's a pretty good representation, as inherently homophobic and transphobic. So they're not making any effort to look for the kids. Also, the children, so-called, would have sometimes been sex workers. So, you know, the danger of those having actually been murdered is very high, you know what I mean, or certainly been in a lot of trouble. So it's very upsetting that kids are, you know, treated differently because they're non-conforming like that, and the book focuses on that, and then the protest is about that. Silent protest, and then they have an insider called Teddy, who was looked after in the houses for a few years, who was basically raised in one of the houses, and he now works for the city, and his job is to interlocute with protesting social movements and so on. So he's a kind of an insider. So that's a kind of a political allegory as well, which I found, you know, that because the book is about social movements and about trying to effect social change, and we're getting a very kind of, a democratic or a kind of a soft left idea of social change, whereby, you know, you have a street movement and then you have people on the inside or helping out, and it's all about getting the right committees and electing the right people and all that sort of stuff. So there's a particular political angle as well, you know.
And the mothers are politicised because these children are going missing.
Yeah, I think to exist, you know, so outly and proudly and courageously, you know, is to be politicised, you know, to begin with, right? Because, of course, it's difficult to do that. It's difficult to live in a non-conforming way, even in New York City. So these are people that would have faced, you know, prejudice in the local shop, you know, or just going out in the street and stuff like that. So they're certainly already politicised. This is them taking on the state, if you like, en masse, in an unusual type of protest. You know, it's a silent protest. They don't say anything.
You said that the novel departs from convention in a number of ways, the narration being one.
Yeah, the most, I suppose, innovative, if you know, I'd be slightly suspicious of that word when it comes to literature, I have to say, is that it is in the third person singular, which is we, you know. So it's very unusual to read prose narrative written in the third person singular. It's normally written in the first person, I, or in the third person, he or she. Okay.
And are these the mothers?
These are the mothers, okay.
So they're like a chorus.
Well, you see, that's it. I mean, are they like a chorus? I mean, a chorus performs a very, you know, efficient job in Greek drama 3,500 years ago, and it certainly doesn't carry over into a novel in 2019, I'm afraid. Are they a chorus? No, they don't function as well as that would do. And I found it really, I found it a strange stylistic choice because, I mean, for me, thinking about the drag culture and the vogue culture is how much individuality and personal creativity and how much distinction is involved in it. So now they're all kind of put into the one voice and they're just we, okay?
And is this the entire book?
No, around half the book is in this collective character, right? And then the other protagonist is Teddy, okay? Who's on the inside, right? And then other characters are collective characters as well. So we talk about the police and the children and the city and so on. So there's very little individual characterization going on, and that's not what most readers are going to be expecting when they open the novel, I would imagine, you know. Yeah.
And what about, I mean, he's picked such a colourful and political milieu in the voguing culture.
Yeah.
Does that work? Does that come across?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's very little description of the balls, for example. I would like to have seen a lot more of that, you know what I mean? Because they're very exciting. And I think that a prose writer could do even better than TV in describing that if they were good. But there's not enough of that. An awful lot of the book is written in kind of vague, high level of extraction, a lot of potted history, a lot of potted autobiography, a lot of kind of condensed history and narrative and stuff to that, and reported speech. Stuff that, you know, you're basically advised not to do in the very first creative writing class that you go to as a writer, to be frank. There's an awful lot of tell and very little show, okay? So if you imagine in terms of visual art, it's as if you're getting the descriptions of the paintings, but not the paintings themselves a lot of the time, you know?
So, Dave, overall, what did you make of it?
I think it's a great subject. It's great subject matter. The theme is very interesting. I learnt a little bit, you know, about the Vogue culture. Not as much as I would have expected to learn over 200 pages. I don't think the stylistic choice around the we, the third person singular narrative voice works at all. I think it was really a big mistake in terms of the subject matter. So I think it's an example of a book that has a good heart, but not a great, you know, it's not a lot more, to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dave Lorden, thank you very much. This Brutal House by Niven Govindan is published by Dialogue Books.